You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Podcast for Saturday, the 6th of February. My name is Jack and I'm joined by Mick Norton. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks, Jack.
Excellent. So we'll have a look at the action. Some good cards, actually. We're looking at action from Sandown, Fosslass and Lingfield.
Yes, some very competitive stuff to look forward to on Saturday. And should be some nice betting races, No silly shorties in the races that we're looking at, hopefully.
Well, we tried to avoid those and try and pick you out some best bets for Saturday. But do you see this as slightly concerning news on the front of the Racing Post? Apparently, the Mullins factor has seen an alarming drop in entries for the novice hurdles at Cheltenham next month.
I'm not sure. I mean, I think the thing was that realism has bitten, hasn't it? I mean, in 2015, we had 83 entries for the Supreme Novice. Don't forget, the race is still 6 weeks away. And 64 this time. Strong Irish challenge, as ever, in the Supreme Novice. I think people have just been realistic and think, well, I'll find easier pickings elsewhere. And I think it's just supply and demand, really, because there aren't that many credible Cheltenham contenders this side of the Irish Sea, unfortunately, and the ones that are will be there. So basically, it's Deadwood that's missing. That's all. I think it's reflected also in the Neptune and the Albert Bartlett, and of course with the Triumphs, that's down what, about 15%. But they've got the juvenile handicap to look at as well, and again the cream will come to the top in the Triumph, as it invariably does. So I don't think it's a big concern. I think it's just reality biting.
Yeah, it's British entries that have dropped by 43%. I think the key word you used there was realism.
Yes.
I mean, we've seen trainers obviously go out of business, haven't we?
Yes.
You know, sometimes they're not in it to entertain us. They've got to find a race in which they think their horse can earn them some money.
Absolutely, and it's all very well having a runner at Cheltenham, but it's not much fun going there if you know you're beaten before you start. So I think in that case, a lot of owners and trainers realise, say, well, we'll find easier pickings.
Especially those who, I suppose, are based up north and in Scotland as well.
True enough, yeah. Yes, there's plenty of... it's going to leave plenty of opportunities for them at a slightly lower level.
Do you think it won't make much difference to Willie Mullins, will it? He's got so many favourites at the Cheltenham Festival. Without that Deadwood, as you said, I think he's still on for a great week in March, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think the great thing about the Mullins setup as well is that, he's got major owners in Richie Rich and Jigginstown, but at the same time, those guys aren't frightened to take each other on. So Willie could well have a strong representative from two different powerful owners in each race, which is not bad for racing, I don't think, that these guys, they aren't just sort of avoiding one another. They will take each other on, which I think that's good for the game.
I think so. And very quickly, actually, before we move on from this topic, we spoke to Ollie yesterday about this. Willie Mullins, 4-6 to be the top trainer. Paul Nicholls, 6-5. Slightly bigger prices about the rest. Where would your money be?
I think it would. I don't like betting odds on, but it would have to be with Willie, I think. I don't think Paul Nicholls has got quite the... he's going to have plenty of runners, but I don't think he's quite the dominant. It's like, whereas in the past, he's had the likes of Big Bucks as his anchor and things like that. That sort of horse seems to be missing from the Nicholls setup at the present, doesn't it?
It does. There's something that's not just... It's just not quite as exciting, is it, when you look at the Paul Nicholls string?
No, I think Alan King is going to have a great Cheltenham by the look of things, the way his team are building up for it. And if you were to say to me who the domestic trainers would have a good Cheltenham, I would say Colin Tizard and Alan King would be the two I would be concentrating on.
We mentioned Colin Tizard yesterday because he's he's behind in terms of prize money won this season, but all it'll take is, I suppose, cue card and thistle crack to have a good Cheltenham. And
exactly.
He's up there, isn't he?
Well, I might be talking through my pocket a little bit because I've had one anti-post bet so far for Cheltenham and I've had a double Yanworth and thistle crack. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's hope they're on the money.
Excellent. Let's hope so. Let's move on from Cheltenham for now. There was excitement yesterday at Maidan.
Very much so. Very, very much so. And it's warming up nicely, isn't it, Maidan? It's amazing, isn't it? We're 5 days out of the dark month of January and we're getting excited about the flat. And having said all that, there's a really good flat card at Lingfield on Saturday, which we'll be addressing in a few moments' time. Yes, the horse you're referring to, of course, is Frosted, who won the Al Maktoum Challenge on the dirt in Maidan on Thursday. Of course, he was one of the leading three-year-olds in the US last year, but kept running into a horse called American Pharaoh. I don't know what was that bumping into him for, but yeah, that was a really good start on his debut in Dubai. Looks like Kieran McLaughlin, Godolphin's US trainer, sent a strong team of horses over for the carnival. Just, along with Frosted, he also had a winner later on in a Group 3 with a horse called Confrontation. Has also, like a bit older, an older horse, but like Frosted, has got some very good sort of back class form in the States when he was trained by his former trainer, Barclay Tagg. So exciting times for followers of high-class flat racing action in Maidan. And that carnival will get better and better. And its culmination, of course, will be World Cup night.
Absolutely. And a quick mention as well for Roger Varian and Andrea Azzini, who
that's
got their
right.
first victory there.
They got off to a winning start with Battersea, who he looked as though there was more to come from him. He was very keen early on in the race, but Azzini got him settled and popped his head in front right on the stick. Whether that was the plan, I don't know. If it was, he executed it perfectly. And he's coming back for a group race at early March, Battersea. So keep an eye on him. He's better value than the margin he won by, that's for sure.
Yeah, step up in class that will be for Battersea. But as Mick says, keep an eye on him. One to follow, certainly. Let's get back to the UK shores, though. Mm. Tomorrow, there is racing from Sandown, Weatherby, Fosslass, Lingfield, amongst others. And, of course, the Irish card at Leopardstown. We're going to start with Lingfield, though. Two races that we're following there. The first is a race at 1:45.
Yes, the Unibet Cleve Stakes. It's a listed contest. It's an all-weather championship fast-track qualifier. It's over the 6 furlongs trip, and we've got a very competitive lineup of 12 to go to post. Going through them in my shortlist in race card order, if you like. The North have got a really strong contingent in this, the first of them being Alban Starr, Tony Hamilton riding for Richard Fye, the in-form Richard Fye. He's a model of consistency, this horse, Alban Starr. He's yet to win in Class 1. He is 0-7, but that doesn't tell the whole story because he's gone very close in defeat. And with his stable in really good form, he could well hit the frame at probably a double-figure price, or very close to it anyway. Good run last time behind Chucky Royal, and he's certainly well worth his place in the lineup. Chucky Royal, he does again take on Alban Starr. He's an admirable 8-year-old Chucky Royal who comes here in really good form. He was a listed winner himself, so no stranger to the grade in 2014. Might just be vulnerable here, just seem to save his best for Wolverhampton and Kempton, but as ever, he'll give it his best shot. No real reason why he shouldn't run as well here. Just that slight concern. He just seemed to be better at Wolverhampton and Kempton. But again, you can't leave him off the shortlist. Rivellino, last year's winner, the third of the Northern Raiders, trained by Carl Burke at Spigot Lodge. Dougie Costello taking the ride. Won this last year, coming into it off a similar sort of profile, a bit longer absence when he won it last year. So the 73 days since we saw him last is not a problem. And he's got a really good profile at Lingfield. So he's not to be ruled out from his good draw in stall 5 with his good track record and last year's win to his name. But I'm going to go for the the last one on my shortlist, and that's the Willie Haggis Train Cold as Ice. This daughter of Western Winter, you probably won't have heard of the sire. South African bred, this filly, this mare. She's a 5 times winner in Kenilworth in South Africa. She's a bit of a Kenilworth star, actually, and including 2 Grade 2s and a listed. The bare form of that debut win for Willie Haggis 47 days ago would need improving upon, but she was entitled to that. She'd had a little break since she left South Africa to come to Willie. I think that improvement is extremely likely. Jo Fanning's been booked. She's got a really competitive looking draw in store for, and I'm hoping that she can stamp her class on that Lingfield at 145 Cold as Ice.
Let's hope so. Cold as Ice, the selection for Mick. We'll be back to Lingfield shortly, but first we have the small matter of the Welsh Champion Hurdle at Fos Las, which gets underway at 2:05. Paul Nicholls won this last year with Silsol at odds of 8-1. He's back this year with one of two entries. Silsol is running again, and San Benedito as well, and Oliver Sherwood, David Pipe, and Nigel Twist and Davis. There's a lot of good trainers in this race and some decent-looking horses.
Absolutely. It's just worth remembering. He's got a fancy title, but it is a limited handicap as well. And poor old Silsol is lumbered with top weight of 11 stone 10 for another go at this. And another little slight factor is that when he won it last year, well, he won it last year with 11-10 as well, so don't be put off by that. But Jack Sherwood, his rider, won it when he won on him last year, was claiming 7, so he can only claim 5 this time. Not a huge amount, but at least we know that Silsol won't be fazed by conditions, because the conditions are going to be very similar to 12 months ago. Bit disappointing, if you like, the last two starts since that Haydock win in November. And he is £6 higher than last year, but conditions are no problem. And I think that could sort quite a few of these out. So we saw him win it with a big race, big weight last year, and he'll give it his best shot again for another crack at this. Deputy Tan, his mark, I think, looks stiff. He had the misfortune to finish third in a long walk, and his mark suffered a bit for that. He was beaten some 20-yard lengths, but the handicappers saw him so fit to put him up to 154. Now, whether he's going to be able to win a handicap of 154 is another matter, but in his favour, he does handle the ground, and he stays further than this. So if it does turn into a real slog, he shouldn't be found wanting. Nicky Richards had sent two fascinating contenders down here. Both of them come here in good form. The first of them is One for Harry, who went up for £10 for that win at Wetherby last time. But he's still on the upgrade, this fella, and I think he gives the trainer a very strong hand in the race. The other one is Top Billing, Ryan Day, taking off the 5. Conditions had absolutely no problem for Top Billing. He had a long absence since running up that hat-trick, but he's shown in his 2 comeback runs that he's recaptured that smart 2014 form, and there's every chance of more to come. I'm tempted, you know, to Dutch the 2 Richards runners each way and hope for the best. Rather than just stick my neck out and pick one of the 2, I'd rather have them both running for me at decent enough prices. So I'll go for the Richards pair and Dutch them, 1 for Harry and Top Billing.
OK, Nicky Richards, the trainer to watch out for then in that race. That gets it away at 2:05 at Fos Las, and we move back to Lingfield now. Slightly later on in the day, 2:55, this one gets underway. It's a Winter Derby trial stakes, and it's over the 1 mile and 2 furlongs. It's just the 9 runners here. Mick, where would you put your money?
Well, I'll go down them in race card order with my shortlist anyway. Captain Cat, trained by Roger Charlton, Jamie Spencer taking the ride. He was made favourite for his last run, but it was his first start for 105 days. He ended up finishing 2nd of 5 behind one of today's rivals, Lamar. But that doesn't tell the whole story. He came from a hopeless position, to be honest. And he just looked ready for the step back up in trip. And I would think that a better run would be expected on the back of that. Looked a little bit ring rusty. Got himself into a bit of a an awkward position in the race and could never win from there over a trip that's probably inadequate for him. And I think he's worth his place on the shortlist. Grendisar, trained by Marco Botti, Adam Kirby in the saddle, a solid listed performer. Hasn't got a listed penalty for this. He's dropped his penalty. He's got good course stats. Bit unlucky last time. Probably, again, a bit like Captain Cat, got himself a little bit out of his ground, finishing like a train. Sure to be in the thick of it, Grendisar. Whether the bookmakers will give you an each-way price about him, I don't know, but if they do, take it. Festive Fair is very interesting for Godolphin. Buick, who was riding Maidan on Thursday, is coming back to the UK to ride this on Saturday. Take the hint for that. Well worth another goat pattern level Festive Fair, and comes here after a confidence-boosting win last time. Don't forget, as a three-year-old, this fella finished 2.5 lengths fourth behind Golden Horn in the Field and Stakes at Newmarket last spring. So he's not to be underestimated, Festive Fair, who's he's getting a nice little Lingfield Polytrack profile together, and he's going to be in the thick of it, I'm sure. And the other one is Lamar. She's very good, this fair. She's got 6 wins from her 23 flat runs and won 4 of 11 starts last year. She was odds on beaten odds on last time, but it was a fairly good run anyway when she was third, which I think will have at Chelmsford, which I think will have put her spot on for this. She's very effective here and at this trip, and in a very tight contest, I'm just going to go with her because of the mare's allowance, because they're all a much of a muchness, and maybe, just maybe, the mare's allowance can tip the scales in her direction. So Lamar, in a wide-open contest, any of the four could win. Just how it's going to be panning out on the day.
Yeah, really decent field. And yeah, Lamar, as you say, beaten favourite last time. Let's hope not this time. We will wait and see the nine runners in that one at Lingfield. And then 5 minutes later, we are off to Sandown for the 3 o'clock. This is the handicap hurdle, grade three. 11 runners in this one. It's over the 2 miles and seven. Plenty of top trainers in this one. And Sue Smith, who won it last year, sends Invicta Lake back for more.
Yeah, Susie Smith, she's got a string in good form. And looked as though that run at Huntingdon last time has prepped him up for this. He is £2 out the handicap, which will just make life that little bit tougher. But he certainly looks prime for another big run. I've left him off the shortlist with reluctance, but it's a fascinating race for two reasons. I'll get to those in a moment. First of all, I'll go through the ones that have made it onto the shortlist that I think will play a part on the day. And number three is Ibis Dereux, trained by Paul Nicholls, Sam Twiston Davis in the saddle. He was a decent horse in France, and he's a half-brother to Safir Dereux, of course, who's done sterling work for the stable. He's performed with credit both starts for the yard, and I think he's going to be competitive off this mark of 1.39. Only a five-year-old, and there still could be plenty more to come from him. Yala Enki is an interesting runner, trained by Venetia Williams. Aidan Coleman taking the ride, another ex-Frenchie. Very smart form in France over fences, and he's reproduced that over hurdles for his new yard as well. Very impressive at Kempton last time, giving a bit of a hammering to Ibis Dereux in the process when making all at Kempton. Went up 8 for that, but was well worth it for me. I don't think the handicapper was harsh on him for that, and he's going to take some catching again. Not always easy on the hurdles track for front runners, but they've got a long way to go. And if they leave Aidan Coleman a soft lady, he'll be able to just get the breathers in when he needs them. And this is a very decent horse, I think, Yala Enki. He's going to get the vote, but there are others to consider. There's two strong northern challengers. Bay Wing, Nicky Richards. We've gone for Nicky in Foss, so he's sending his horses far and wide on this Saturday. And Bay Wing's been an absolute revelation. His mark has shot up from 90 to 135 in the last 12 months. This is obviously his stiffest task to date, off a £10 higher mark. But he's got a very fighting weight of 10 stone 11, with the class at the top. And he's not underestimated by any means, and he could well go off at a nice each-way price. Be difficult to see him not being involved. The other Northern Raider is Donna's Diamond, a likeable son of Clouding's, who's really started to go places. The form of his Musselburgh win on New Year's Day has been well and truly franked with the winners coming out of that race. He's got very good form going this way around right-handed, and another one who could outrun his price. But the vote goes to Yala Enki. But there are two other runners in here who want keeping a very close eye on. The first of them is the top weight, Medinas, from the Alan King Yard. He's a former Coral Cup winner at the festival. Hasn't been seen for 14 months. But he has gone well fresh before. The stable are in cracking form. But I just wonder if the Coral Cup might be on the horizon again for him. Just keep an eye on him, see how he runs with a view to those festival handicaps, Medinas. And the other one, with the same thing in mind, is Saddler's Encore, who is a very decent horse trained by Philip Hobbs, Richard Johnson, taking the ride. Easing his way back after 2 years off with a really good solid run at Wincanton on Boxing Day. With this under his belt, with 6 weeks to go to the festival, another one to keep an eye on for whichever target he's presented with at the festival. So keep an eye on those two, Medinas and Saddler's Encore. But for the win purpose on the day, I think Yala Enki will win it. And I think the two Northern Raiders have both got first-rate each-way chances, Baywing and Donna's Diamond. But an absolutely cracking day's racing to look forward to on Saturday.
Very much so, and a really fascinating race, that one.
It is.
And we are hoping, Mick, for the sake of your selections, that Nicky Richards has a very, very profitable Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it won't be just me. Lord Budden will be all over them like a rash, won't he? He's a great Nicky Richards fan. Yeah, I mean, it's great. And he's sending, you know, the real live ones as well. The two at Enforced Last, one for Harry and Top Billing, both go there in top form. Baywing, so impressive visually ahead. It never came off the bridle in that horrible ground at Haydock last time. You just don't know where the improvement's going to stop, and exciting day to look forward to.
Absolutely. Well, we'll wait and see, and we look forward to seeing how your selections do. Thank you very much for joining me, Mick.
It's been a pleasure, Jack.
And we will, all of the selections will be up on the William Hill website, along with all of the other podcasts are available on the news page of williamhill.com.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.